Thanks for joining us for today's Word of Hope from First Christian Church in Burlington, Iowa. In this broadcast, you will hear songs and hymns of praise, the pastoral prayer for the day from our associate pastor, Brooke Anthony, and a message from me, senior pastor Dave Yonker, that I hope will fill your spirit and give you hope. You are always welcome to join us for worship in our sanctuary on Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 10 a.m., here at 1221 Park Avenue in Burlington. For more information, check us out at burlingtondoc.org. You are invited to grow in faith and share God's love through First Christian Church in Burlington.
Good morning. Happy New Year's to you. Welcome to First Christian Church. We are so glad that you are here both in person and joining with us online. My name is Brooke Anthony. I'm the associate pastor here at First Christian. We're so glad that you have found us on time in our unusual time. I was a little worried about that, but kudos to all of you for finding our time at 10 o'clock this morning. We give thanks for God's love and blessing on our lives today as we come into worship together. As we have gathered for worship today, a few items to note. If it's your first time here, welcome. We have a special gift for first-time visitors, and so we invite you to stop by our Welcome Center, which is kind of the center island out in our lobby as you leave, so that we can welcome you personally and give you that gift. Also, in our bulletin, there is a tear-off sheet here. Sometimes people don't fill those out because they feel like we already know you, but we would love to have record of your attendance, that you're here. It gives you space for prayer requests. You can mention on there if you want to join a book study. There's all kinds of information you can give us on that tear-off sheet, so we invite you to fill those out now and drop them in the offering plate as you leave the sanctuary today. If you are joining us online, we do have an online bulletin on our church website you can fill out. You can also fill out our Connect card or send us an email through our website with any prayer requests or needs that you might have for us. If you're watching from home, we also invite you to gather the elements you might need for communion, whether that's bread and juice or crackers and grapes or however that might work out at home, so that you can join us at the Lord's table here and a little while later in our service. On the back of our bulletin, you can check out what is happening here at First Christian Church, but a few announcements, a few things to let you know that the church office will be closed tomorrow in observance of New Year's Day. We will resume our regular business hours beginning Tuesday. So you can always send me an email or the church office an email, or you can call us starting Tuesday, but we will be closed tomorrow. This evening, we will not have M&M or Crosstown Youth Group, but those will resume next Sunday night at 5 o'clock. So we hope to see any and all children and youth. Maybe that's a New Year's resolution, is for your kids or your youth, if they've maybe never tried M&M or Crosstown. Those are our children's program for ages 3 all the way through high school. They are separated by age once they get here. But we invite you to bring them for those programs starting at 5 o'clock next Sunday night. We do have a new Sunday school class that will be starting on January 22nd. Sandy Gerst will be leading the book study on a Max Lucado book called You Were Made for This Moment. And this is a study on the book of Esther, which I know is my personal favorite. I know a couple other people have mentioned how much they love Esther as well. We would love for you to join us. Please contact me. That's another thing you can put on your tear-off sheet, or you can email me so that I can make sure I have a book ordered for you if you'd like to participate. And then finally, if you ordered a poinsettia in memory of someone or in honor of someone, you are welcome to take those after church today. We will be starting to dismantle our decorations here in the coming week. And so if you would like your poinsettia, today's the day. Please take that with you as you're leaving today. I think that is the end of my announcement, so I'd like to invite you to stand and greet one another. We're going to wave to this camera over my shoulder to say hello to our online friends.
For the call to worship, how magnificent is all creation. God's love is poured throughout all God has created. God's love is poured upon us each day. Praise be to God. Let your souls and spirits rejoice at the goodness of God. All the people praise God. Amen.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy. Oh, this is amazing grace. This is amazing love. That's you.
That was a wonderful song to get everybody pepped up and ready. But now we're going to slow things down and go a little more traditional. So please join me in our opening hymn, The First Noel. It'll be on the screen or number 151 in your hymnals. We'll sing verses 1 and 3.
Certain poor shepherds in fields as they lay, in fields where they lay keeping their sheep on a cold winter's night that was so deep. No.
Please pray with me. Dear Lord, as we start a new year together, let us not to forget the blessings you provided to us last year. Let us keep our promises and not lose sight of your glorious love. Let your word we hear today open our minds and our hearts so we become a stronger body as we walk in faith together in this new year. We ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. I now invite the children to join me up front for children's message.
Jesus loves me, this I know. J-E-S-U-S. Oh boy, the Bible tells me so. J-E-S-U-S. And he loves me here, and he loves me there. And he loves all of us everywhere. Jesus loves me, this I know.
Good morning. How are you all doing?
Enthusiastic.
We sound a little bit awake. I want to show you two books. The first book I have is a tan-colored book. It's kind of old. The pages don't have any pictures on them. There's some tape on the edge of it. Looks kind of boring, doesn't it? Now I've got this next book. It's super shiny. It's not as thick. There's no tape holding it up. There's still no pictures, but the words are bigger. There's not as many words on the pages. So if I were to ask you which book you'd want to borrow, which one do you think you'd want to borrow? The plain one? The shiny one. So it's kind of different, isn't it? What should I do with the one that is kind of torn up and plain? Should we keep it? No? We should get rid of it? Maybe recycle it? Yeah? Well, what if we kept it? Would that be okay too? Because sometimes something that's new and bright and shiny, we could make new again. Sometimes we need to do some cleaning up of our own and make ourselves new and shiny again. You see, God wants us to get rid of our bad attitudes and the things we don't do very friendly. He wants us to get rid of those things so we can have good attitudes and show our love to everyone. We are all connected and share in the life of God by our love. By making us new again and shiny, we can show everyone that no matter how shiny or dull we look, we can still love one another. Much like the book of Matthew tells us, chapter 25, verses 31 through 46 says, "Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." So we should always try to live in faith, even though we are tested every day, and it can be hard. Shiny doesn't always mean better. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we pray to look for ways to be your love and mercy in all the world, and we long for the day when your people have what they need for daily life. Thank you for our blessings you have given to us. We are grateful and can't wait to show our good attitudes all of the time. Let us say goodbye to the old and welcome the new. Help us be ready to embrace each day with a heart full of love and many blessings from you. In your name we pray. Amen.
As we gather together, one of the most important things we can do is to pray, to talk with God, to share with God all that we have going on in our life and in the world, and we know that God is there and hears us. And so today, as we join together in prayer, let us bring our concerns and our joys, our stressors and our celebrations before God. Let us pray. O God of new beginnings, we give you thanks for yet another year that we begin this very day. It is a gift to celebrate the conclusion of a year and to look forward with hope and promise to what lies ahead. Thank you for the opportunities that 2023 will hold for each of us. We pray that we would remain open to receive those opportunities and make the most of them. We pray that we would live into the light and calling that you have for each of us. Lord, into our darkness you have brought the light of your love. You have given to us a reminder of the many ways in which you care for us and guide us. Help us to place our trust and our lives in your care. As Joseph listened to the angel telling him to follow, help us to follow you in all your ways. As Mary listened to the angel and said, "Here I am," let us stand ready to receive your guidance on our lives and be ready to serve. Give us strength and courage for the times ahead. Let love be the foundation from which all our actions spring. O God, even as we see the promise of good to come, we know that there are most certainly challenges that will come our ways. We know that many will struggle to see the positive possibilities and instead feel weighed down by failure, hardship, and desperation. We pray that your love would be real to any who seek, and that through you, those who struggle will feel your guidance, compassion, and presence as they work through those challenges. We lift up to you all of those who are on our prayer list, and those other needs that we keep held closely to our hearts. Ease the pain of those who hurt. Heal aching or sick bodies. Grant comfort to those who suffer. And hold near to you those who mourn. In all things, we pray that your will would be done. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, giving thanks for the gift of his life come down to earth. We thank you for the example he showed through his life, his actions, and his love. It is in his name that we lift together the prayer that he taught his disciples, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our scripture reading today is from the book of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 31 through 46. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All of the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people from one another, as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand, and the goats at his left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the fountain of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then the righteousness will answer him, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when that was, we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? And the king will answer them, Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. Then he will say to those at the left hand, You are the accursed, departed from me into the eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, you did not visit me. Then they will also answer, Lord, when was it we saw you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger or naked, or sick in prison, and did not take care of you? Then he will answer to them, Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteousness into eternal life. The word of God for the people of God. Amen.
Thank you, Annika. That was a long one. Well, first off, let me give you all an A for being in church on New Year's Day. It is a lot to be in church on a holiday, absolutely. And most of us likely stayed up way later than usual to watch the ball drop last night. I'm not one of them. I decided not to even try. But usually I try, and many of you may have, and so we've just finished up the busiest season of the year. We're probably all tired. I'm sure you're exhausted as I am. I hope you each had a wonderful Christmas season, and hopefully we can get back to knowing what day it is. You know that time from December 18th till about the 31st? It just melts into one big time span. We're eating cookies all the time. We have vacation days mixed with days when we actually try to be functional. We never are quite sure what day it is. But beginning today, January 1st, hopefully we can keep track of the date and maybe even keep track of ourselves a little better. Now, I know Christmas has come and gone. The wrapping paper is thrown away. You may have taken down your holiday decorations already. The Christmas music has returned to your usual favorites. We've carefully wrapped our Christmas candles and put them away in storage. And sadly, we can't count on Christmas treats to be at every meeting we attend from here on out. But even so, I've still been thinking a lot about gifts. The gifts we receive and the gifts we give. the gifts that are wrapped under the tree and opened on Christmas morning, and the gifts that aren't quite as material. One of my favorite Christmas traditions is to watch our favorite Christmas movies. I watch them almost every year, but I still get a kick out of Buddy the Elf going to New York to find his dad. I still worry about little Kevin McAllister when he gets left home alone at Christmas time. I still laugh every time Uncle Lewis lights up his cigar and sends the entire Christmas tree in flames in Christmas Vacation. And of course, there's the classic Christmas Story. In the movie, Ralphie only has one gift that he wants, and that is an official Red Ryder, an official Red Ryder carbine action 200-shot range model air rifle, which he usually says as fast as he possibly can. Of course, we know that he will eventually receive this gift that he so badly wants, but first, he receives a slightly less desired gift from his Aunt Clara. Poor Ralphie opens the gift and immediately sees a pile of pink fluff. Now, for a boy in third grade who was hoping for a rifle, a box full of pink fluff is not good. His mother begs him to go upstairs and try it on, and despite his best protests, she convinces him to go upstairs and put it on. This poor guy, he was mortified. We can feel his embarrassment in his facial expression. Why would Aunt Clara send this? Of course, his little brother, Rick Randy, gets those infectious giggles. We can almost hear them now if we know the movie well. Sometimes people give you the absolute perfect gift. They put time and thought into picking out something that is just right for you, something they know you'll love, but sometimes we're truly baffled by the gifts we receive. Like poor Ralphie and his bunny costume, we wonder, why on earth did someone choose to give it to us? My great uncle once gifted me something that was very special to him. He had collected bird eggs, and he had typed up labels on his typewriter of the different kinds of birds. He put them all together with their labels and created this small display, and when I was a teenager, he gave it to me. I have no idea why. I'm not particularly into birds. It wasn't something that we shared as a hobby. It wasn't something special between us, but for whatever reason, he gifted them to me. We can't always put our finger on why someone would choose a specific gift for us. I'm sure each of us can think of a gift, whether this year or in the past, that didn't make much sense. We wonder why the gift giver thought it was something we might like or enjoy. Why did Aunt Clara think that 9-year-old Ralphie would want a pink bunny suit? Or why did Uncle Harold give me those bird eggs? We won't always find out the answers. But I think we can usually assume that the giver had a reason. We may not know it, we may not understand it, but they chose that specific gift for that specific person at that specific time. And even if we don't understand it, or even if we dislike the gift, we can be thankful for the person who showed the care to give it to us. Well, today's scripture passage has plenty to say about giving to others. As we begin our reading today, we are joining Jesus in his final teaching before his journey toward the end of his life. So this seems pretty important. This is the last lesson he gives before his fate is turned over to the authorities. This is the last lesson, and he chooses to teach on God's judgment. When the Son of Man comes in his glory with all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, and he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. So the sheep in this story are representing the righteous at his right hand. The goats are representing the unrighteous at his left hand. And he presents two very similar scenarios. To the righteous, he says that they are blessed because they took care of him. He said, I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me. For this, he said, they will inherit the kingdom. They will be rewarded. Now, the righteous did not remember when they had done these things. They asked, Lord, when was it that you were hungry and we fed you? When were you thirsty and we gave you something to drink? When did we welcome you or clothe you? But then he goes to the other group, the unrighteous on the left hand, and basically says the opposite. He says, you are cursed because you saw me when I was hungry and you did not feed me. You saw me when I was thirsty, and you did not give me a drink. You did not welcome me. You did not clothe me. And then this set of people asks almost the same question. Lord, when did we see you and not do these things? When did we not take care of you? When did we not feed you? When did this happen? And even though those questions are very similar, the right and the left, the intention behind them is quite different. Because the righteous, they cared for others. They shared and fed and sheltered others without a thought about whether to help or not. It was a natural outcome of the love they had in their hearts. It's just what they did. But the other group, the unrighteous, when they asked their question, it took a tone of almost, if we'd known it was you, we would have done more. Almost like we would have helped if we knew it was you. They showed very different intentions and motivation. Their help was dependent on who this person was. If it had been Jesus, they would have helped. But just someone in need? Apparently not. It seems as though their help was a little more dependent on what it might earn them, favor or reward. But the righteous people, those helped people in need simply because there was a need. It had nothing to do with gaining any sort of favor or reward. Jesus was clear on the importance of giving and caring for others. Jesus says, what you do for and to the least of these, the sick, the hungry, homeless, oppressed, in prison, what you do to them, you do to me. And as he talked about the goats and the sheep, the separation of the righteous and unrighteous, this separation was designed to kind of inspire faithfulness and root out the self-centered. The group to his left hand, any help that they provided, it was implied that they were doing it for selfish gain. But the group to his right hand, they were caring for others because they saw a need and naturally wanted to help the need. Jesus is also clear that it is the weak and vulnerable ones that we are called to serve. When you help someone like this, you're not doing it to get anything back. You're not doing it to be repaid. You have no expectation of repayment because the person you're helping can't do those things. Someone cannot pay back your kindness. And when we give to someone who is considered unable to give back or care for someone who cannot repay the kindness, we're doing it for the love of God in our hearts. We aren't looking to earn favor or a well-done pat on the back. This is when we are serving God. This is when we are giving from a place of love and altruism. Now, it can be a little uncomfortable to hear this passage and consider how we all measure up. Would we be among the goats or the sheep? If Jesus looked at the ways that we serve and support others, which group would we be sorted into? That can be a little bit nerve-wracking, can't it? We aren't quite sure. We wonder, do we do enough? We wonder if we do the right thing if we serve those who are truly in need. We wonder about our intentions and whether we do things for the right motives. Does our service come from a place of love of God and people, or from a place of what we should do? What is behind our care for others? Well, we all know the old adage, it's the thought that counts. And we know this comes with gift giving. But I think we see it in this passage very clearly that it's true from Jesus' perspective as well. Our motivation for helping others matters. Just like Aunt Clara had a reason for giving Ralphie the bunny suit and Uncle Harold had a reason for giving me the bird eggs, I may not understand why, but it meant a lot to me that he had reasons and chose to give it to me. It means a lot when someone gives us gifts and puts time into preparing gifts for us. And it's the same when we are helping others in the name of Christ. It's the thought that counts. The actions that we do are very important, but perhaps equally important is the why behind our actions. The motivation that is pushing us to care for others matters. It makes the difference between the sheep and the goats. Well, especially around this time of year, with Christmas becoming more and more commercialized every year, it's so important to hold on to the right why behind our actions and our care for others. Every year, as Christmas comes closer, we bemoan the consumerism that bombards our every sense. The commercials on TV and the sales in the stores, even the music pushes that buying and giving and getting are the reasons for the season. With this, it can be hard to keep our spirits and heads turned in the right direction because we can so easily get sucked in to the hype. Now, as a parent to younger children, I am always looking for ways to keep the kids focused on the right reason for the season. It can be hard when we have the images of the perfect Christmas encouraging us to spend more, to do more, to give more, and just all around be more at Christmas. A few years ago, we added a new activity to our Christmas traditions in our house. I found a book called The Giving Manger. The story is told through lovely collaged paper illustrations. It tells of a family who doesn't have much in the way of material belongings or financial security. Each year, their father makes them one Christmas gift in his woodshop. But this year is special. Their parents sit down, the two children, on the last day of November and tell them that this year there will be more gifts. The kids are thrilled and so excited to see what comes first. On the first day of December, they find a wooden manger carved for them. Their parents explain it to them that this year they will be giving the gifts. They focus their attention on the same scripture that we are focusing on this morning. Jesus saying, "Truly, I tell you, just as you did to one of the least of these, who are members of my family, you did it to me." For every act of kindness that the family does, they will place a piece of hay or straw into the manger. Their goal is to fill the manger with hay by Christmas to prepare it for Jesus. Well, as you can imagine, the kids are initially pretty disappointed by this arrangement. They had been promised more gifts, and they were very excited about receiving more gifts. They felt tricked, and the brother especially was pretty angry with his parents. That first day, they returned home from school to find 10 pieces of hay in the manger. Their mother had washed and folded their laundry and done chores for them. The daughter begins to get in the spirit, doing one of her brother's least favorite chores, shoveling the snow. Her brother watched from the window, and he begins to feel thankfulness building in his heart where his anger had been. He got an idea and began to work in their woodshed, using scrap wood to build a baby doll bed for a little girl down the street whose family also didn't have much. When he was ready to deliver it, his sister suggested they take some food down too. They left it on the doorstep and rang the bell, and they hid behind a bush to watch the joy the little girl felt when she found the baby doll bed. Through this new holiday tradition, they learned that giving could be more rewarding than receiving. And by the end of the season, the manger was filled with hay, and it was filled with love and service. On Christmas morning, a hand-carved baby Jesus was their gift from their mother to lay in the manger. And so this is what our family does. We put straw in the manger for each act of kindness we do, and then baby Jesus finds his bed on Christmas. And I don't pretend to say that we don't get just as excited about the gifts that are under the tree. But we try to balance it by remembering the value in serving others, and that by doing this, we are serving Christ. Because it comes down to this. What is the point of being people of faith? How are we changed by our relationship with Christ? We say we believe in Christ as our Savior. We come to worship. We give thanks for the forgiveness that he offers us for our sins and for eternal life that he grants us. But how are we impacted and changed? How are we working in Christ's name to care for others, to serve others, to create peace in the world and make change in the world? Our faith is not there just to help us feel better about ourselves. If we leave worship on Sunday or helping at the food pantry or giving blood at the blood drive, if we leave feeling high and mighty and hoping that we'll get a pat on the back, then we're doing it wrong. We're not called to faith to be comfortable. We're not called to faith to give ourselves confidence that we've done a good job. We're called to faith because we believe in the message Jesus preached, a message of love and justice and inclusion and care for all people. And we are called to live this out in the world by letting the love of Christ shine through us in caring for others. May this be our calling this new year and every day of our lives, to care for the least of people, to care for people in general, loving Christ through that care. Amen.